That's some audio from our friend Kareem Assad, who was at one of the many rallies this weekend. And while I think it has been an exaggeration in some quarters to classify a lot of these rallies that have happened since the 7th of October attacks on Israel as being inherently anti-Semitic, it's kind of hard to beat back a bunch of people bursting into cheers when they're told that Iran, one of the great all-time villains in this world. I mean, it's not even sort of selective. Like, we went back and forth on the Taliban for a long time. But Iran, pretty well, bad country, bad actors. And to hear a bunch of people in Toronto cheering an attack on Israel, it kind of defies reason. But this weekend, some of the chess pieces were moved around in the conflict in the Middle East, and I thought, who better to explain what may be happening and what the jeopardy may be than our own Evan Solomon? Well, our own. We don't own him, but Evan Solomon joins us, publisher at G-Zero Media. Nice to have you, sir.
Good to have you. I feel the ownership still, John. I really do.
All right. Okay, so, I mean, what actually happened? Because I'm hearing some people saying that this was almost like a dramatic reenactment of an attack. You know, that Iran was going through the motions and has no intention of escalating things.
Well, there are some things that are maybe not as they appear, less dramatic, and some that are more dramatic. So let's just lay out a little background. Iran had long promised to retaliate against an Israeli attack on their embassy in Damascus, where they are, and their diplomats, where a number of their high-level diplomats and people who had been working, according to the Israelis, not only with Hamas, but with Hezbollah, to attack Israel. And Israel launched an attack and killed them. Iran decided that an attack on what they consider Iranian soil inside Damascus required retaliation. And they knew, Israel knew they would retaliate. And Iran signaled for a long time that they would. So people prepared. The United States and its allies knew that this weekend Iran would retaliate, and Iran did. But and so they gave warning to the U.S. and Israel that this would be coming. So people said, well, they shot 300 projectiles, and they 99 of them were shot. 99% of them were shot down by the, you know, the Iron Dome. And therefore, it was just a pantomime, a show. That is absolutely not true, John. And I want people to be clear here. They shot, what is unprecedented here is this was not an attack from one of Iran's proxies. It wasn't Hezbollah, right, in attacking Israel in the north. This was an attack from Iran proper for the first time on Israel. Two, they shot ballistic missiles. Now, they were not shooting at civilian targets, and they gave warning, and all that's true, but that's not... that's a very risky maneuver for Iran, because if something goes wrong, if they hit civilian targets, this could escalate. So where are we right now? Israel is debating how they are going to escalate. They are going to respond. Iran declared the situation is now over, hoping that they've sent a message that we're not going to take it. They can cast it as a victory, but this is not over. On the Israeli side, two things to take away. One, their defenses were extraordinary, and they had defense as well from the United States and other allies, including, by the way, Jordan and Saudi Arabia. So fascinating, who are not friends of Iran. So the capabilities of the Iron Dome were intense. I mean, Iran got to test them and see them, but they were incredible, and it showed the superiority and the deterrence that Israel has. The question, though, is if they decide to retaliate, this becomes escalatory. How can it not, John? Can Israel just take it? Biden urged Netanyahu over the weekend, take the win. You knocked him out. It's over. And most countries condemned Iran but want this not to escalate. But, John, don't bet on it.
What do you make of the charge in some quarters that Benjamin Netanyahu is dragging his feet on this conflict because he knows that if it ends, that he's going to have to quit?
Oh, I think there's no question from the very beginning that Benjamin Netanyahu's political motive outside of, look, I'm not undermining or undercutting Israel's need and requirement to respond to October 7th. How that response has played out is different. That's a different discussion. But everybody in Israel supported a very strong and robust response to the massacre of October 7th. But yes, Netanyahu's absolutely motivated by his own personal circumstances to extend this war. Because look, as we have said at Eurasia Group, Benjamin Netanyahu today is in a better position than he was 4 days ago before the Iranian attack. They had protests in the streets. This guy's deeply unpopular in Israel. But yes, the war makes it more difficult to remove him from power. So absolutely right. And this Iranian attack helps Netanyahu, probably puts the probabilities of an incursion in Rafah and places like that at a higher level, right? And makes and strengthens his position, as well as strengthening Israel's core allies, who have been very shaky. By the way, those allies do not want Israel to respond strongly and escalate with Iran.
Evan, thank you so much. Always appreciate it.
John, my only complaint today is we didn't talk about the Masters, but if that's the way you want to be these days, go ahead.
Well, we can talk about the Masters. I didn't appreciate that you were that into it. You were watching.
I just can't believe that you just see me, you put me in these little boxes, okay? I called Scottie Scheffler, but if that's the way you want to do it, if that's the way you see me, just as you're, okay, something terrible's happened, call Evan, but let's not talk about golf. Let's not talk about the Masters or Tiger's Round. Fine, put me in a little box, jar, you know, labels all through jars. John, but fine.
All right. Well, I was watching, you were watching. See, I never presume because a lot of people find my talk about golf very boring.
Well, it's a little weird that you're wearing your homemade green jacket right now. That's not something that listeners would want to know about, but I know.
Evan, thank you.
Thanks, John.
That's Evan Solomon. And he was talking, incidentally, about Eurasia Group. And it was only when I went to New York City a few months ago and Evan showed us around the west side of Manhattan. And it was fantastic. I mean, we went for a walk on the High Line. And then he took us to the piers. And it was spectacular. And he's a great tour guide. And he's enthusiastic as hell about everything, as you know. It's one of his charms. But I'm trying to remember the point I was going to make. Oh, yeah, no. We were having breakfast. And I said, what do you do? Because I thought he'd gone to New York to head up some white shoe publishing firm and that he was sitting there reading large manuscripts from ancient authors. And as it turns out, he's working for this organization that's like something out of the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's this organization that effectively has assessments on countries all over the world that hinge on economics, defense, where they're headed in terms of who they're allied with, all that kind of stuff. So maybe you're McDonald's and you say, we're thinking about getting into country A. What do you say? Well, they go away and they come back and they say, okay, here's what's going on. It's a bit 007 and it's way cool.